All right. Here we go. Today's lesson is, we're still in Joshua. We're in chapter 2. It covers all the way through chapter 6 was the lesson passages. But we're in chapter 2, and then we skip over to chapter 6. But we'll talk about some of the things in between just a little, so we'll keep it all in perspective. The name of the lesson today is called The Faith Dare. And this is the faith dare up on the board. It's what is the faith dare? Expressed words, expressed actions, and then faithful rewards. And that's what the topics are for each of our sections today. And we're going to go through those as part of our lesson. I wanted you to know that when I was working on my lesson, and I'll show you. This is my book. I write all my lessons because I remember it better instead of typing it. So I started my lesson, and I do back and front, so I got 4 pages done, and the Lord said, put the skids on me, and took me in a 90-degree different direction, and so I had to start over. So that happens. It doesn't happen very often, but I guess I wasn't going where He wanted me to go, so He'll do that sometime for you. Just know, even when you're studying and trying to prepare for something. So first of all, to get us started, I want everybody to turn to chapter 11 of Hebrews. We're going to start there, and we're going to work our way back. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Everybody knows what that chapter is, don't they? The faith chapter. That's right. It's a big, big deal. Huge chapter in the book. It's before James and after Philemon, after 1 Timothy and 2 Thessalonians and all those. It's a small one. You just kind of have to flip till you find it. That's why I love those tabs, especially when I'm teaching, because I can kind of glance and pull pretty quickly without looking.
Hebrews 11.
Is everybody there? Lee, we're going to look at, we're going to go backwards and look at Hebrews 11. That's where we're going to start. And this is called the faith chapter. Is everybody there? All right. We're going to look at it, and I'm going to go through it kind of quickly, but I want you to just follow along with me. I'm going to skip over some stuff. I'll read the first 3 verses I'm going to read. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Because we don't know that. We believe it, though, because of our faith, right? Because the Bible tells us. We weren't there. We didn't see it. So it's by faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Okay, now I'm going to skip. Verse 4, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Verse 13, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. Okay, verse 17, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. verse 20 through 23. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. 24. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 27. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. 28. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. 30. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. Now verse 31, very important verse. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute, who is our focus of our lesson today, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God. She is in the faith chapter. And I just wanted to refresh you that she's there. That's how important her role was in God's plan. So look, going on, verse 32, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives and your struggle against sin. That's powerful, powerful verses. And I wanted y'all to see that our girl Rahab is right there. Right there in amongst the ones. She wasn't in the list where he named a bunch where it was too much, didn't have enough time. She got named for what she did. So, after hearing that chapter and hearing about our girl Rahab, that she's listed there with the likes of Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Noah, we could really just call it complete. We could just stop right there and go on in there and sit in the sanctuary. Because, I mean, that says it all. To be in the faith chapter and to be listed, she did her dare. She did her faith there. That's what faith is about. Jesus did it. He had faith that he was going to receive his reward, and he was crucified. Being crucified was the most shameful way to die back then. So we could just, it just fires me up to read that chapter and to know that, that those people did that, and it covers us even now for what they did, because they were willing to be a part of God's plan. So what does our faith there mean by expressed words? What does that mean to you? Expressed words. What do you do when you express something? You say it. You speak it. So let's go back to Joshua now, and we'll look at our verses. In chapter 2, and we'll go through, we're going to look at expressed words now. In Joshua 2, we are introduced to the focus of our lesson today, which is Rahab, our girl Rahab. In verses 8 through 13, Rahab is speaking to the two spies that she's hiding on her roof. Those spies came from Joshua. So, let's look at chapter 2 of Joshua. Verses 8 through 13. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family, since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live, along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families." So what is she doing? She's expressing in those verses that she understands and accepts that their God is the supreme God. So she's expressing her faith that she believes that. She's taking a big old chance by doing that. So we don't really know. There's no details about how these guys, you know, Joshua sent them, but he didn't say, "There's a prostitute that lives, has a house in the wall, and she'll see you coming. Go talk to her." We don't have all those details. We just know that they came and she got them. And she was willing to protect him. They were travelers. She was a prostitute. So, really, the logical place to go was to her house, because that's probably what she did. You know, she looked out and saw people coming in, and she took the opportunity as they came in to, you know, try to make a living doing what she does. So the logical place, I mean, nobody would suspect anything, that they were anything other than travelers if they did go to her house. So why do you think God chose to use someone like Rahab? We all know what prostitute is. They're no different now than they were then. It's the same concept. Why do you think God would use somebody like Rahab? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Yes, ma'am.
Partiality. I think that God doesn't use it in his expression, that he does not show partiality.
Does not show it. That's right. And what else does that tell us? If he'll use us, if he'll use anybody, that his grace and his mercy is for everybody. Not just people that we deem acceptable in our human thought process.
You don't have to be good.
That's right. You certainly, and she was not good at all. So, what does that say about who God would use today?
Anybody.
Exactly. Did you read my notes while you were up here? Anybody. That's right. Anybody. That means y'all. You know, just because I'm willing to stand up here and do this doesn't mean that y'all couldn't do it either. Don't look so scared, Miss Carolyn. Your eyes got about that big. Yeah. It's not, you know, because y'all probably...
You write the notes.
Yeah. I mean, y'all know the Bible probably better than I do. So, I mean, you know, if like Lee is led to help do the clothes closet and do whatever she does, and the women that help her, y'all are led to do that. You know, there's all kinds of ways to be in service. And there's all kinds, we've talked about this recently, all kinds of gifts. And if it's nothing more than sitting in your house and praying, if that's what your gift is, you need to use it. So when you think about that you don't have what it takes to work for God, you think about Rahab. I mean, we need not ever forget Rahab after today. So God's...
She was really going out on a limb.
She was, and we're going to talk about that. She was definitely going out on a limb. God's plan is not for the more fortunate of this world. You don't have to have a certain status to be a part of God's plan.
Widows last night. Everybody else is rich and famous, and here this little, probably been over little woman snuck in and dropped her last bit of money.
Mm-hmm. And that's who God recognized. Mm-hmm. That's right. And she's forever with us as we study the Bible. So it is for all and anyone who will accept and believe in Him. And Rahab is just more proof of that. He willingly used the less than perfect woman, the outcast in the circles of acceptable women. She'd still be an outcast today. We can certainly relate to that. If one walked in here right now, we would all gasp and probably... You know what I'm saying? I mean, because we're human, not because we're mean, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Someone we today might not see as suitable to do God's work. Think about this. We would not see that a prostitute in today's world is acceptable to do God's work. Thank heaven we don't decide. Sorry about that. We do not decide. We do not make that decision who God uses. God used Rahab as she was. She didn't get, you know, so many people think that they got to get all cleaned up and be acceptable in their own society, and then they come all pretty and clean to God. And that is certainly not the way it works. She came to God as she was, and God healed her heart and used her to further His glorious plan. It's just amazing how His plan... And He had all this thought up a long time ago. Now, what if she had not chosen to do this? What if she had been afraid and didn't, you know, because everybody that God has in His plan don't always do what God wants them to do. So then He's got to make a little detour. Let's stop. That's right. That's right. So let's stop and let's just say a prayer thanking God for Rahab. Because by fulfilling her part in God's plan, she did us a favor. And we'll find out why in just a little while. So let's just say a word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this day. And I thank You for the rain that we've had. And Lord, I just thank You for Rahab, this lady that in our little world that we live in, we might not find acceptable right at this very moment if she were to walk in and sit down. But I thank You that we don't decide that. I thank You that You use people to show us that everybody is loved by You and everybody gets the same chance. And everybody gets the same opportunity to say yes or no. And I just praise You, Lord, for Your plan. And I pray that You'll use us in that plan. And I pray that You'll forgive us of the sins that we have committed before we walked in Your house. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, what's the next step in the faith there? So she's expressed words because she told those two spies she knew that their Lord was a supreme Lord. So she's accepted that. And she wants Him, she's going to help them, but she wants the Lord because of she's going to help them to save her and her family. So the next step is expressed actions. What does the word action mean to you?
Doing something.
To do it. You read my notes again. To do it, to do something, Acts. That's what the book, I remember Brother Norman, I'll never forget this, he told me he loved the book of Acts because it was full of drama and war and fighting and people doing stuff, you know, for God. And I've always remembered that, and that's what it's called, Acts. So Rahab's actions. Let's look at Joshua 2, verse 6, and then 14 through 15. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. And then verse 14 and 15. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down a rope through the window. So in between all that, she's hiding them, and that flax is something that they made real fine, light linen, cotton clothes from, material from. And it needed to be properly processed. It needed to be wet and then dried, wet and then dried. So they put it on their roof, and apparently it was these big leaves and piles of it, bundles of it. And at night it would get the dew on it, and then the next day the sun would dry it. And then at night it would get the dew. So that's how it got its process before they made it into cloth. Well, she hid these people under there, and where the verses that we kind of skip in between 6 and 15, she lies to the king's messenger and tells him that she hadn't seen him and she's not helping him and all that. So she took a huge chance by doing that, because she could have been killed right then and there. If they had found him, it would have been the end of her. So
she was a Canaanite, and that was, she was taking up with Israel.
That's right. She had become, she had gone over to the other side. So she hid the two men. This is her actions. She hid them. She lied to the king's messenger. She helped them escape. And then most importantly, she trusted them. Because she trusted that they were going to save her and her family for what she was doing for them. She didn't know them from Adam. Plus, she was a prostitute, remember? They could have used her and just taken advantage of the opportunity, and that she hit them and all that, and then forgotten about her, and then she would have been killed when the Lord had the walls come down. They could have easily betrayed her, but her faith was all in. Her faith was in their God. She believed that He was going to protect her and her family for what she was doing. So first, she expressed words of faith. And then second, she took action. So we're going to go over to James 2:25. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. But James, it's right after Hebrews where we were. I want to read another passage. Listen, it says, listen to James 2:25, where James is speaking of faith without action being dead. Now, girl Rahab is immortalized again in the book of James. In verse 25, it says, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She, in this section of verses in my Bible, is entitled, Faith Without Good Deeds is Dead. So then the last verse, you know, she was the last one they talked about in the other one, and she's the last one they talked about here, but you know, save the best for last. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So she didn't just say it. She acted on her faith, and she had the opportunity, and she took it. Now, she's brand new. She's a brand new believer, brand new to faith in God, and she went all the way. She went all the way. She believed. She acted. So you believe. Do you act? Do you act on the faith that you have, or are you just expressing words? You just think about that. Put yourself in Rahab's shoes. The last part of the faith there is faithful rewards. Let's look at Joshua 6. I lost my train of thoughts. Chapter 6, Joshua, verses 22 and 23. Now, this is after they've gone back to the to Joshua. They've left Jericho, and he tells them, he says, "Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, 'Keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out along with all her family.' The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel." So, several events happened in between the time the scouts were in Jericho and the city's capture and the destruction at the hands of the Israelites of Jericho. So the entire congregation of Israel crossed the Jordan and they camped at Gilgal. They erected the stone memorial to commemorate God's miraculous activity. These are the verses and chapters in between 2 and 6. And you remember, now the entire congregation of Israel, if you remember it, remember we looked at that one Sunday about all the different tribes and how many, that's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Joshua had all the Israelite males circumcised to keep with the covenant. They observed the Passover. And then Joshua receives a heavenly message. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 21 describes the amazing fall and destruction of the city of Jericho. So I do hope that you took the time to read that during your lesson and you didn't just skip it and only read the verses that applied. It's all what, you know, every lesson has background passages, and if you read it, it helps you keep up and keep everything consistent. The fall of Jericho is an outstanding work of God. You know, I hear this song in my head, Joshua beat the battle of Jericho. You know, you learn that when you're a kid. But I mean, think about it as an adult. That was an outstanding work of God. It is His terrifying judgment on sin that He took that place down. We must never forget that. I want you to listen to this. This is a book I have that I refer to whenever I have a woman that I'm going to... It's called Women of the Bible. And I thought, I know Rahab. I had to go find my book. And then I said, I bet you Rahab's in here. And yep, she was. Yeah, it's good. And this is what her life and times. And it's... I just want to read this to you about... the city walls of Jericho. It says, Jericho is probably best known today for its enormous walls. Walls that fell because of the faith of the people of Israel. A wall around a city was its chief distinguishing mark. Anything without a wall was merely a village whose inhabitants would run to the nearest wall city for protection during a battle or war. So I wouldn't want to live in a village. I would have only wanted to live in the city. Rahab lived in a house on the wall of Jericho. She probably had a view not only of the city, but also of the area outside the protective wall. She had a window. And so that's how she could see the travelers coming in, and she'd grab them as they came in. This view, which gave her the perfect vantage point for spotting potential customers as they entered and left Jericho, may have given her an advantage in running her business of prostitution. Homes, businesses, watchtowers, archer positions, all could be built on top of or within walls that were as much as 20 to 30 feet thick. The stronger the system of walls around a city, some cities had both an inner and an outer wall, the more defensible the city was against invaders who came across the plains. Most walls of major cities were built of huge stones and mortar. Some stones of the wall of the temple in Jerusalem still exist. Their dimensions 30 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 3.5 feet high. Each stone weighed an unbelievable 80 tons. But no stone was large enough to protect the city of Jericho from the power of God through his people. No battering rams were needed to breach its walls. All that was necessary was the faith of God's people in what he said he would do, and the walls came tumbling down. And I think about long years ago, when I was young, when they exploded the old Kilby prison, Daddy took us out, me and my brother, out there to watch it, because you could go see, you know. And I never will forget, and they counted down, and it imploded, and, you know, and it just, and I, you know, but they didn't have all that. They didn't have all that. By the faith of the people of Israel, that's what brought it down, and God rewarded them. A second outstanding work of God in the passages that we focus on our lesson today is the amazing grace that God has towards sinners. He commanded Joshua and the Israelites to destroy Jericho, all the people, and all the animals. For over 700 years, the inhabitants of Canaan had been allowing and advancing cultural values that were detestable to God. It's kind of like Sodom and, you know, it's kind of like the same thing happened to them. They allowed practices that involved human sacrifice, sexual immorality, and the worship of false god. God was patient for centuries. He's still patient. He's so patient, he just gives you chance after chance after chance after chance. And thank goodness we got Jesus to cover us, because he'd have probably got rid of us a long time ago. Then he used Joshua to purge the pagan people groups from Canaan. You know, so the walls come down because they marched around it once a day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and it went down. And then they had to go in there and they had to kill all the people, everybody. Nobody was spared, and any animal that was worth working, an economical animal, you know, that they might have used for farming or anything, nothing was saved. God's mercy is also shown. God judges sin, but we can be certain that he saves repentant sinners, because he saved Rahab and her family. He didn't let them forget that they had to do that. The harlot Rahab is proof that God's grace extends to everybody who will ask for it. Because of God's grace and mercy to her, she acted in her faith by saving those two scouts. She didn't just save the two scouts. She saved everybody. So her faith reward, God spared her, this is her reward, spared her and her family in the destruction of Jericho. She should have been there and been destroyed. She was a prostitute. She was part of the sexual immorality. His grace is so great that he not only spared her, he brought her into the lineage of Jesus Christ. She was like Jesus's great, great, great grandmother, something like that. So Matthew 1:5, real quick. Matthew 1:5. Salmon, this is the lineage of Jesus. Salmon was the father of Boaz, in parentheses, whose mother was Rahab. And it goes on and on and on. So she's in the lineage of Jesus. How about that? I think, to me, that's amazing that she went from being a prostitute to being a descendant. Jesus is a descendant of her. That just shows you that it don't matter what you did before once he cleanses you. God promises to use us just like he did Rahab. So are you willing, like she was, to be used through God, and through God using you and perfecting you? He perfects you as he uses you, because you do what he asks you to do. So remember in the, I don't know if anybody has, I've got in my thing that I asked Letha to make me, there's a red ribbon. And I love different colors, and there's a red ribbon in mine that right there. And that was the color of the cord that they told her to hang out her window on the side going outside. It was a red cord, and they said, hang it out there so when the troops come, they'll see it and they'll know to spare you. And that's representative to us of the blood of Jesus, because he had, even though he hadn't done it yet, it was still, it's all symbolic, you know, for that. So let's just, if you got a red ribbon, you could put in your Bible, or if you, just every time you see something red, a red ribbon or anything, especially at Christmas, there's always red ribbon. You know, I'd like for you to think about the faith of Rahab, and just be willing to take the dare to, we express it, but do we act upon it, and think of the rewards that we're going to have because we do that for Lord. Anybody have any questions, complaints, comments?
Good lesson.